Sound like it was bothering him too bad with his throat and all and everything. Good evening. I'm sure glad to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. And I just appreciate everybody being here. Brother BJ said something, and I wasn't even going to share this, but you said something a minute ago that, you bring that water? That, one prayer, it's amazing what one prayer can do. And I've shared this with Brother BJ. And I just want to tell you, if you was here, thank you. If you was here Sunday night, our boy got baptized. Amen. A couple weeks ago, he got saved, praise God. And I want to share this just so, and it's so convicting to me. It has, really has nothing to do with my message. But a month ago, I don't even remember when it was, a guy that I'm friends with him, I know him. We're not good friends, but I know him. Shared something on Facebook, and it was about how he had been praying for his boys to be saved, and that God had finally answered that prayer. They got saved at a church camp, and when I read that message, I realized and thought, man, I can't remember the last time that I specifically prayed that my kids were saved, that I prayed that God would convict their heart and change them, that I prayed and interceded for them and just really just asked God to move on their life, you know. Well, I know where I was at. I can't remember when it was, but I think it was the Wednesday night before church camp, before they left. We was coming down the road, and I got to thinking about that, and I got to praying and asking God, like, to be your will, convict him, save him, Lord, you know, draw him near to you. Caden goes to church camp, and he gets saved, thank God. Amen. Not by my prayer, not by the power of my prayer, but through God convicting him. Well, ultimately, I wound up on the phone. I battled this for a week, wanting to call this man and say, just to tell him, I just want you to know what that Facebook status done. You know what I mean? Just to thank him for being obedient and putting the Facebook status and giving God glory. And I battled it and battled it and battled it. Well, I couldn't take it no more. July 4th, I called him, and he was at the beach, and he had been struggling with some things. And when I called him, man, I told him that, and he broke down. He broke down. And I don't know this fella like that, but I know he ain't the type that you just going to see crying everywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. But he broke down. And he commenced telling me that he's been struggling a lot here lately. And that the time that I called him, that he was sitting in that room thinking about jumping off the balcony because he felt like such a failure. So one prayer, one Facebook status, all because God used him to put a Facebook status. Three youths got saved. Me and him wound up on the phone, and it was just a work. So that statement is so true that there's so much power just in one prayer. Tonight, I feel like God has pressed this down on me more than you know. I feel like that somebody here needs to hear this. I feel like we can all hear this and imply this to our life. But before I do, I just want to ask a couple of questions. The Bible says that if you deny me before men, that I'll deny you before my Father, is what Jesus said, correct? So if... It's not a shame to ask somebody if they're a Christian, to ask somebody if Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. So tonight, I'm going to ask by a showing of a hand, if you're saved tonight, just raise your hand. So with that being said, I got to know, and the title of my message, the title I feel like God's given me is, What Are We Doing? What are we doing? If you will, turn with me to Matthew, chapter number 28. Now, Brother BJ, you can't be running around on me over there. Matthew, chapter 28. And if you will, stand for the reading of God's word. Verse number 16 is where we're going to begin. Then the 11 disciples went away to into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Big point right here in verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for allowing us to be here. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit in this place. I thank you, Father, for just being here with us, Father. I'm asking you right now, Father God, you fill us all up with your Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that you just rain down on us tonight, Father. I pray, Father God, that not I be seen, but you be seen in this place. I pray, Father, that you just put your words on my lips. I pray, Father, you come down and touch me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Yes. Let not I be seen, but you be seen. And yes. Just hide me far in the shadows of the cross, Father. Lord, I'm asking you right now, Father, that you get glory from this message. I'm asking you move on hearts and minds. Put conviction where it needs to be. Lord, I'm praying that you bring the backslidden back. You just yes. Plug us in like BJ and Brother Whooper said. I just pray, Father God, you plug us in to your glory. I pray you plug us into your power, probably, yes. Father God. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, you just start moving in this place. I pray, Father, you when you move through, you don't pass me by, Father. I pray you just preach right now through me, Father God, and just use me as your mouthpiece. Lord, I love you. I thank you. I ask you to forgive us all where we failed you and all the many sins and shortcomings against you, Father. And I just thank you so much for the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First and foremost, do you realize what has happened right here? Do you realize what has just took place in the previous verses? Jesus has just died. The stone has been rolled away. He's rose again. He's come back already. All the things that God said that Jesus said he was going to do, all the things that he said was going to take place, everything that he spoke, everything that he had been prophesying and telling people, you better be prepared. This is what's going to happen. You're going to deny me, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. All these things have taken place, and now here we are. The disciples have seen all these things taking place. They've experienced all these things taking place. They've watched these things come to fruition. They've watched these things just right before their eyes. They've watched all these things happen. In verse number 18, and Jesus, I'm sorry, 17. And when they saw him, they laid their eyes on the man Jesus, after he had rose again. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And even though they knew every one of these things happened, but they doubted. What are we doing? What are we doing? And I hope I get on your nerves saying, what are we doing? Because it is so important. And it has struck out to me so much. And it has just convicted me so much. I want to know, what are we doing? We're going on a mission trip this weekend or this next week. But there's so much missions that can happen just in the four walls of your own home. There's so much missions that could happen just in this church and with the schools around here and just in your community. Yes, sir. So what are we doing? What were they doing? Miracle after miracle, prayer after prayer. I just shared a story with you about how a prayer was answered. And I thank God for it. But God shows up exactly how he said he would. 100%. He does what he says he was going to do, or what he is going to do. He shows us so many times all the things that he says he's going to do, all the things that he says he will do, all the things that we pray for, and he just shows us all these things, but yet we still doubt it. We still step back and we put limitations on God. We still, day after day, we get up and we still, We compress God down and we try to put him just inside the church, and we don't take him out with us. And we don't take him to work with us. We're not going to take a Bible with us. We're not going to go tell nobody about him. So I'm asking you, what are we doing? When God shows up and we see him do things, we see God show up and we see him do things, and we see him there's so many different scenarios where God has just poured out on us. 100 days in rehab.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you this one. I can tell you this one for a fact, a matter of fact. You're looking at an answered prayer.
Amen.
I can go get you another one that's back there. And I think I've done shared this before, but God still answers prayers. My boy's heart rate was 50. 50. Doctors were crying. My wife was crying. It was over. Like he was done, wrote off. And I watched him triple the heart rate the next time we went. I think it was 4 days later. Tripled it. But yet we still just compress God down and just doubt him. So what are you doing? What we have these conversations and we have these interactions with so many different people, and everybody's a Christian here. And everybody's a saint here. And everybody's good here. And we can talk about him here. We can have these conversations here. And we can have it. As soon as we pull off the highway, we're good, because now we're Christians and we're good. But that's not what he's called us to do. That's not what he's... That was the Great Commission. That's not what he's called us to do. And I'm the world's worst at it. I'm worse than Paul. I feel like I'm worse than the chief. And maybe that's why it convicts me so much, but I've watched so much take place. I've got friends that I am good friends with still that live nothing close to God. Nothing close. But if you ask them, they're Christians. If you ask them, they know it. They know Jesus. I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and told him and asked him. And he said that him and God had a relationship, and they had a relationship, and so on and so forth. And we just had this a decent conversation. And I told him, there's absolutely no way that you can have a relationship, a true relationship with God, and live the way you do. You just can't. Or, I'm sorry, I apologized and told him, maybe you can, but I can't. Because when I got saved, my want-to changed. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect by no means. By no means am I. Because, again, I feel like I'm worse than Paul. I'm more than the chief. Okay? But I'm trying to tell him, like, man, if you keep doing what you're doing, saying you have a relationship with Christ, and living with the world, the devil ain't going to do nothing but use you and press on you and drive a wedge between you more and more and more. And now that you've openly said it to me, it's fixing to get worse unless you change now. Well, we can go see him in the jail now. This was a week ago when we had the conversation. Since then, he's went to jail. Now, I've been to jail too. I ain't throwing condemnation on nobody. But what do we do? And I don't even know why I got off on sin. But what I'm trying to say is we see so many different things happen. But yet, we still doubt. Just the other day, you said, Brother BJ, actually you've said it multiple times in the last few messages, the last few sermons you've preached, is that you've got to a point before where you said, God, if you don't show up, something finna happen. We're both going to be embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he showed up.
Every time.
Right on time.
Every time.
Right when the alarm was going off, he was there.
It's him.
But we still doubt him. He takes care of things and works all things out for the good of those that follow him. And we see that with our own eyes. And there's proof of it time after time after time. And we stand face to face with so many miracles. So many miracles. Yet we still doubt it. Oh, ye of little faith. Matthew 14, and this is Bradley Terms. We won't turn there, but this is Bradley Terms. Verse 27, Jesus said, you know, this is where Peter walked on water. And the storm's raging, and all the men in the boat see this man walking across the water, and they look and like, oh man, what is that? And Jesus said, hey, don't worry, it's just me. It's just the fella that's been hanging out with you. It's just the one that you've seen do all these things. Don't worry about it. It's just me. Then Peter got curious. Peter got curious, much like each and every one of us would have. I know I would have, because I think this is just cool. I really do. Peter got curious and said, hey, man, if that's really you, I'll tell you what, let me come out there with you. Well, Jesus, well, yeah, come on. Come on, it's fine. Come on, it's just water. Peter got out of the boat and the tops of his feet didn't even get wet, I believe.
Come on.
I believe the tops of his feet didn't even get wet, and he still doubted it. He was looking Jesus face to face. He was close enough that Jesus reached out his hand and picked him up, but he still doubted him. Oh, ye, a little faith. And I'm asking you, what are we doing? God shows up, and he shows out in our life so much, and he's proven it time and time again. And we could go right now. We could all load up right now. I've never been there, but I believe it with everything inside of me. We could all load up and go get on a plane, and we could take off, and we could still go and find that the stone's rolled away, that the grave is still, the tomb is still empty. We can just go and see all these, physically see all these things. We can physically see people get healed and see people just change. Now, let's not even talk about being healed. Let's talk about addiction being broken. Let's talk about pain being taken. I don't know. There's so many different things. But we still doubt it. I believe, I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, I'm not going to take credit for it, I believe it was Tony Evans. Faith is simply this: believing God told the truth. It's simply believing that God told the truth. In these verses that we just read, 18 or 17, or in all of it was proven. It blows my mind. They seen it. I believe this with all my heart. If I stood up and I walked through those back doors right there and walked out the... If I stood up right now and I started walking out those doors, somebody in here would think I was faking for the last 12 years. Somebody would say I've been putting on. And it would simply be a miracle from God that he's touched my back, he's whatever it might be, however he decided to fix it, whether it be a divine touch or medicine or a prayer or whatever. It would simply be a miracle from God, but somebody would still go, nah, that old boy right there, he's been walking at the house the whole time. I guarantee you somebody would. And it just blows my mind so much that we see these things, we experience these things hand to hand, but yet we still doubt it. So I'm asking you, going into my next, God's next thing that He wants, what are we doing? Looking at verse number 19. This is Jesus' commission starting here at 16. But go into verse number 19. The very first word. Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Go. Go do something. You didn't get saved. You didn't get born again. You wasn't bought by the blood of Jesus just to sit here in these pews. You wasn't none of that to go home and not tell nobody. God didn't bring you out of the mess you was in and put you where you at now just so you didn't tell nobody. Not one of you. This is literally the very first thing Jesus done. The very first thing, as Matthew recorded, it's the very first thing He said. The first thing that He told somebody to do was, go on. I've done what I told you I was going to do. I've done everything that I said. Y'all seen it. There's no sense in staying here. Go. Go to all the nations. Go to everybody you can find. Tell them about what you've seen. Tell them about the power of Jesus. Tell them about the power of God, the power of the blood. If you're a Christian and you're saved tonight, and somebody's going to get hurt about this. But it's the truth. If I'm wrong, correct me now. Turn my mic off if you have to. But if you're a Christian tonight and you cannot remember the last time you shared Jesus with somebody. And when I say share Jesus with somebody, I'm talking about having a heart-to-heart conversation, looking at somebody in the eye saying, do you really know Him? Because if you do, you ain't acting right. Hurt, you know, what the world calls hurting people's feelings is what happens. If you haven't had that, you can't remember the last time you had that. If you don't do that more often than not, you're failing as a Christian.
Amen.
You are failing as a Christian.
That's right.
Most people that you have that conversation with, that when you say, well, you're supposed to go tell somebody. If you have that conversation with somebody on a personal level where people are talking back, most people, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you don't have to be. God didn't say, hey, all you preachers need to make sure everybody's saved. God didn't say, well, you've got to be a deacon. You've got to have. No, that's not what He said. He told the disciples to go. Go do something with what I've gave you. Go do something with what you've seen. Go do something. Brother Wolfer, you can play the guitar, and I wished I could. But if you sit right there in that pew and you didn't play the guitar, you're not doing nothing with the gift you gave, been given. Brother BJ, you've been called to preach. It's evident. It's obvious. I thank God for it. But if you sit there in a pew, whether it's this pew or that pew, or another pew, or another church, and you didn't preach, then what good is it? You've suppressed the Holy Spirit. You've took what God gave you, whatever it is, if you're not using it, you're taking what God's given you, and you're sticking it in your pocket. There's been a lot of talk over the last couple of months in this church about hiding your light. There's been a lot of talk. If you'll think back on it, there's been, maybe it's just me, maybe it's because God was working everything out. for this message. But it's been mentioned quite often about hiding it under a bushel. That song's been sang a lot on Wednesday nights to the kids. If that's what you're doing tonight, if you think you've got a gift and you're not using it, whatever that gift might be, whatever God's blessed you with, then you're hiding it under a bushel. You're suppressing the Holy Spirit. You're holding God back. And you're not doing what God's called you to do. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't even have to have a crowd. The absolute best conversations I believe I've ever had are the ones when me and whoever the person might have been is either on the phone and there's broke down crying going on, or when we're on a dirt road in the middle of the night trying to figure out what we're going to do because it's done got so bad that the only place you can turn to is Jesus Christ. The only place. I'm going to venture to say this. If you haven't had somebody ask you about praying, I'm not saying praying out loud. I'm just saying, hey, put them on the prayer list, pray, whatever. You probably slack. You probably slack. So I'm asking you, what are you doing? You don't have to have a crowd. You don't have to have a following on Facebook or Twitter or TikTok or whatever. And most people, well, I don't know what to say. Now, I talk. I talk a lot, probably more than I should. You know? I really do. But everybody here, everybody in this church that I could see, I'm kind of short. I don't know if I might have missed anybody, somebody. But nearly everybody, I'll say, raise their hand. And if that be the truth, and you're saying you're saved, then you've got a testimony about how God saved you. You've got a testimony about what the test that God put you in that brought you to the testimony. You've got a spot where God brought you out of. You've got something where you was this and now you're that. You've got all of these things that you went through and now here you are doing this. You've got something. You don't come to church on Wednesday nights and not have something. If you think back, I got to ask, Sunday night a guest was here that come to support Caden. And he said, man, this was before everybody got here. He said, people was coming in. And he asked, he said, church be full tonight? And I said, no, Sunday night. What are you talking about? And he kind of looked at me. And they go to a little smaller church. But I said, be even less people here Wednesday night. And I said, it's the same way everywhere you go. It don't matter where you go. You can go to First Baptist in Winfield if you want to. It's going to be less folks on Wednesday night than it is on Sunday morning. But you get the core of your church here now. So when you raised your hand, if you raised your hand, I believe it. I believe it. But y'all are the ones I need to talk to. Y'all are the ones God wanted here. Y'all are the ones, we are the ones that I should be saying we. We are the ones that God wanted to hear this. Because he worked on me on this one. Big time. We've all got a testimony and something to share. I don't know what it is for everybody else, but you've got something to share. Brother, I can't talk to folks like that. Trust me, I know. I could preach to 1,000 people. I was nervous getting up here, but I can preach to 1,000 people. I can get up here and talk, and it ain't no big deal. But when it comes to my family, I don't know what it is, but it's hard for me to talk about Jesus to my family. And I'm just being as real as I can be. It's hard for me to talk to my aunts and uncles, my cousins. I guess the people that know me the best, the ones that knew me before Christ, the one that's seen me in all my worst attributes, you know? So I get it. I do. But I wonder how many times Jesus bumped into somebody that was hard to talk to. I wonder how many times Jesus bumped into that guy that said, nah, I just don't do church. Wonder how many times the disciples run into that. Paul. How about Ananias? He went to a man that he thought for sure was fixing to cut his throat. He kills Christians. What about that? And he went to him in a private setting and prayed for him. Not knowing what was going to happen. Just knew God sent him. Now, I'm not saying we can all be or we're all going to be Ananias. But what I am saying is you've got something to tell. And here's a better thing. Everybody here has got war stories. Y'all know what a war story is? Everybody know what I'm talking about? I knew you knew what I'm talking about. Some people know what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say is everybody's got stories from back in the day, you know. Everybody's got the story about how, well, this person did. This one time we was over here, we wasn't supposed to be. Everybody's got those stories. I like those stories. Don't get me wrong. I do. But if you can set and tell those stories, why can't you tell about Jesus? Everybody's got that grandpa or your dad, that one person that you think real highly of that was just something. You know what I mean? They were the strongest at this or they whatever it might have been. I don't know, and I'm going to try to hurry, but I don't know what it might have been. But you've got those stories about them that you tell. But if you can tell those stories around a campfire, in a break room, at a hunting club, riding razors, if you can tell those stories at a dinner table or in a car, on a boat, why can't you tell about Jesus? It's the same story. You just end it a different way. Because see, I remember a time, I can tell you this, I remember a time, I think I've told you this before, you wouldn't have fought me and got me up here. Everybody in this church, well, you'd have had to knock me out, and then I wouldn't have said nothing when you got me up here. I wouldn't have got up here for no amount of money in the world. Period. It wouldn't have happened. But God. So I'm asking you, church, what are we doing? What are we doing? Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Testimony is simply this. It points to activity in a person's life. It points to God's activity in a person's life. If you can't share something about Jesus, then there's probably no activity happening in your life. You're probably not allowing God to be active in your life. I have sat in this church and listened to testimonial services break out. And I've listened to people tell testimonies about all the things that God has done for them. What I'm asking you is if you can do it here, if you claim you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, then you've got a story, you've got something that you can tell. And God said, go. God said, go. Go to work. Tell them about me. Go tell the world about me. So why are you not telling about me? And I simply want to ask you, and you ask yourself, what are you doing? Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you. I love you, Father. I thank you so much for being here, Father God. I thank you so much for the word. I thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your, Father, I just thank you for your blood. Lord, I ask you right now that you begin to prick hearts and minds and change minds, change hearts, and start doing a work in all of our lives. Father, simply so we can go tell the world about you. We've been going through the book of Revelations, and it's just really worked on me that I don't want the people I know and love to experience that. So we need to go and tell the world about you. Father, I ask you to go with us in all that we do. guide us in all of our steps. And Father, just be with us in all that we do. Lord, I love you and I do thank you and ask you to forgive us where we failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said,